Well, good morning, everyone. So I have a question. Who here likes to gaze up at the stars? On a beautiful, clear night, and you gaze heaven-bound and are mesmerized at what you see. When we go camping, I love those evenings. I can stay there for hours. In a couple of weeks, I will be heading out on a journey. A journey that's going to take me to a place where I'll be seeking stars. Not stars in the sky or one single star in particular, but a gathering of superstars on a sheet of ice. I am off to St. Louis, Missouri. This is going to be my 9th NHL All-Star game, and so the Wolf is going to be on a prowl, taking care of all those pro players, taking care of their gear. I know, somebody had to twist my arm, I hate my job. But I love going on a journey. I love the anticipation, I love the excitement, I love the adrenaline that goes with the privilege of being part of something spectacular, especially something that allows me to be so close to the action unfolding in front of me. You see, I never know what's going to happen, what kind of situation awaits me, and I love that, because I know I'm going to be part of something special. Something special is going to happen, and I'm right there in the middle of it. Today, we celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord, journeying with the Magi. So we call today's feast Epiphany. Epiphany means a showing, a revelation, but more than that, it indicates a divine showing, a divine revelation. We could say, as we look at today's gospel, it is Matthew's Christmas story. Just as the shepherds coming to the stable in Luke's Christmas story, if you look at it, these two accounts are quite distinct from each other and have a different thrust or emphasis about them. In Luke, the emphasis is on Jesus being God's revelation to the poor and to the rejected. In Matthew's, the emphasis is on the universality of Jesus' mission. And as per normal, the writer of Matthew, his readings, you look at it, he is rather vague on details. And there are many questions I would like to ask. When exactly did this happen? How soon after the birth of Jesus? Where did it happen? There's no mention of a stable in today's gospel, only Bethlehem. And who were these wise men? We get the term from the Greek text, which translates into English as magi, but originally a designation of the Persian priestly caste. And the word became used for those who were regarded as having more than human knowledge. They were interpreters of dreams and readers of the sky, astrologers, even magicians. But they're also known as king due to the influence of the Old Testament text, because we hear from Isaiah, when kings see you, they will stand up, and princes shall prostrate themselves, and foreigners shall rebuild your walls, and the kings shall be your attendants. In today's psalm, the kings of Tarshish and the seacoast shall pay you tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall bring you gifts. We can also ask today, how many wise men were there? Tradition tells us 3, but in fact, Matthew doesn't say. Presumably, the number 3 grew out from the 3 gifts that were brought. And the gifts echo of the passage from Isaiah, which we have in our first reading. So does the tradition that they came on camels, presumably as camel was the normal transport across the desert. And they came following a star. It was common belief in ancient time that a new star appeared at the birth of a ruler. And there's a lot of speculation about this star. Was there a comet at that time? Was there a significant conjunction of the planets? A supernova even? And how does someone follow a star? How do you judge that it stopped over a particular place, especially a small house? It would be like trying to find the end of a rainbow. What I have come to realize that such questions, even though they are very interesting, that's because I'm so curious, is really missing the point altogether. The special blessing for today links the light of the star with Jesus as a light of the world. So what does this mean? We are concerned not with the details of the story, but its meaning. All the accounts of Jesus' birth, both in Matthew and Luke, point symbolically to the future events in the life of Jesus. And this story is a foreshadowing of the rejection of Jesus by the religious and political leaders and his own people and the acceptance of the Gentiles. Although Bethlehem was very close to Jerusalem, we hear of no Jewish leader is found making its way to visit the child. And Herod's apparent interest altogether is sinister. His only concern is how to get rid of a possible rival. But on the other hand, we have these foreigners, these outsiders coming from a faraway place to worship the child. The contrast is deliberate, and it's a foretaste of what will very soon happen when a new church gets underway. Today's celebration, then, is a reminder for us that for God, there are no foreigners, no outsiders. Everyone can pray the Our Father. But even more important than being able to pray the Lord's Prayer is the salvation is for all. The gift of His Son, our Lord Jesus, who died so we could have eternal life for all. There is not one single exception. And if God is the Father of every single person because He created every single one of us in this world, that means that we are sisters and brothers. The call then today for me is to live my life in such a way that in my words to others and about others, in my actions with anyone, is that I will strive to act in a loving and caring way. Now, I'll add this. See, the Magi were not, as often we depict, as real kings wearing splendid garments. They were astrologers who interpret the present, the past, and the future happenings by the movement and the conjunctions of the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets. The lives of most of the people in those days were influenced by these interpretations. They were the central part of their lives, lived in superstition and the fear and the forces totally beyond their control. And people tried to appease these powers by all kinds of spells and by identifying some of these stellar forces with gods who had to be appeased. The Magi represented all these beliefs, superstitions, and fear. But today, they come and they prostrate themselves before the child who represents the true force in people's lives. The love of God. The real source and goal of all living is union with God, represented and made accessible to us and this child. Emmanuel, God with us. And they are led to this child by a star. Their lives were occupied with watching the movement of stars, but this was a new star that they had never seen before, and it led them to Jesus, the Son of God. They have now forgotten about all the other stars, and they bowed down, offering precious gifts, their earnings from their astrology, laid at the feet of the child, and they worshiped him. This child is the new and only star. a message of good news to the whole world. The message is the coming of God's kingdom. Like the Magi, we have undertaken a journey, and it is the journey of our lives. We journey to those places where the Lord is calling us to give witness to the world that He is the true King of the universe. For each of us, the places of our journey can also include places where people don't usually look for God, like a stable, or a homeless shelter, or a prison, or a rehab center. Or maybe you haven't undertaken your journey towards Christ yet, in your heart, and for many reasons. There's a doubt, there's fear, and there's always the reason of being too busy. Remember my story in Advent of La Bafana, journeying, who did not journey with the Magi when they came by because she was too busy, too occupied, taking care of her house. And when she decided to go, she was doomed to search for the child. Like I said at the beginning of my homily, I love going on a journey. I love that anticipation. I love the excitement, the adrenaline that goes with the privilege of being part of something quite spectacular. You won't necessarily know where you're going or what's going to happen, but I can tell you something special is going to happen. I can tell you that the destination is so worth it. No one who goes to meet the Lord and comes back the same way, unchanged. A destination where you will experience true joy and peace, love, forgiveness, truth. I pray that all of us could be like the Magi, seeking the presence of the Lord. That we will all journey with the Magi to those Bethlehems, those places where we can find the Lord and experience the glory of everything God wants to give us, and to be able to give Him glory back in our hearts, in our words, and with our lives. May your journey and my journey be safe, beautiful, and full of the love of God.